The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Still on money matters, according to Robert Whelan, Managing Director of Rockwell Financial, in your 30s, your most valuable asset is not a job title, a property, or a savings account. It is time. Now, to explain all that, Robert Whelan is with me. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Pat.
So what do you mean, time?
It's basically about the whole interest, the whole notion of compound interest. So the way I've explained this to people is every snowman starts off with a snowball. Okay. Yeah. So we learn compound interest very young in life. You get it, you start off as a small thing and you just keep rolling it and rolling it and rolling it and rolling it and rolling it. And the longer you take to roll it, the bigger the snowman is going to be. It's exactly the same with your own personal finances.
Yeah, I still remember the formula from school, how you work out what your compound interest would be. And it's amazing if people do it. Say, take an interest rate of 5%. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the capital multiplied by 1.05 to the power of n, where n is the number of years.
Years, exactly, yeah.
And if you do that little exercise and compare it to simple interest, the difference is phenomenal.
It's phenomenal. So, yeah, like I think the example I give, because we do a lot of work in the employee benefits company pension space, and I use the example that somebody who decides, okay, from the age of 30 to 40, I'm just going to save 3,000 euros a year and never save again. So at 40, I'm going to stop saving.
Okay? 3,000 a year?
A year.
Okay.
Okay, so just a simple number, right? So 3,000 a year from age 30 to 40. So I'm going to stick away 30,000 euros during those 10 years.
Yeah.
My colleague says, no, I'm going to start when I'm 40 and I'm going to save 3,000 euros a year from 40 to age 60. So I'm going to save for 20 years. Okay. So one person put in 30,000 over a 10-year period. Another person put in 60,000 over a 20-year period. Who had more money at age 60? It's the person who put in 30,000 for the 10 years in their 30s, because at an average return of 7%, person A ends up with a pot of 151,000 at 60, and person 2 ends up with a pot of 122,000 at 60. And that's simply because of compound interest.
Now, a lot of people are like person 2. They say, well, look, I've got a huge amount of expenses at this point in my life. I've got, maybe I've just bought a house, I've got a mortgage to pay, mm-hmm. I've got to insure it, then I've got kids in school, I've got child minding, blah, 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 blah. I'll wait.
Yeah, and it's perfectly normal. Like, I think that I wrote about this because it was my own personal experience in my own 30s. I didn't have, sincerely, the opportunity to do these things because I came into my 30s just at the tail end of the Celtic Tiger crash and all the things. So I've lived the experience of what people are saying, to be perfectly honest with you. So it's not, I'm coming from this highfalutin position. So the answer I give in context to that is, yes, that's normal. But the hardest thing to do is just time. So it's like any habit. The best way to start any habit is just to start it, and don't put massive pressure on yourself to do everything at once. So what I say, particularly in the company pension space, is skip every third pay rise. So if you are 30 years of age and you've got a pay rise, okay, you want to keep that, fine. If every third pay rise was, say, 5% or 4%, if you didn't take it, you simply took the 5% and said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to top up my pension with that.
Yeah.
You haven't,
and you get the tax relief on that too.
Absolutely. But you haven't. The big thing is people feeling I have to dip into my pocket today to fund tomorrow. That's a difficult decision because you've said you've got competing realities. But if it's a pay rise, it's money you haven't yet got. So I always feel it's an easy psychological way to start.
Now, the other thing is people say, I can't afford it. And then you say, well, how do you spend your money? It's very easy with one particular habit, fags. Mm. They're very expensive.
Yeah.
And if you manage to give them up, and it's not easy for many people to give up the fags. But what is it? Is it 20 euro for a pack of 20?
I actually couldn't tell. This is God's honest spot, but it is probably something around that. It is bananas. Yeah,
So, I mean, that'd be, say, let's round figures, 100 euro a week, which would be
200 euros if they earn for some people, or 150, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But whatever. So
what's 5,000 a year?
You've got your money for your pension
and
to
your health
year. That's for sure. So, but there are other things. I mean, that's the easy one. Mm. But there are other things you might have to forego. Do you have any suggestions what is disposable? Because there's an awful lot of, I suppose, a sense of entitlement. I have to have my latte every day. It's my little treat to myself.
Yeah, I think the answer, I've done some talks on this before and I've said, like, no is a perfectly acceptable answer, or I don't need. So it's just a question of priorities. So I would say, and this is why I kind of say in your 30s, you kind of mentally should be in a position to do these things, because your 20s is about just yourself and enjoying yourself. But like at your 30s, you should be starting to build those habits. I would look at my lifestyle, and I think the easiest way is to only buy what you can afford to buy. So for instance, buy now, pay later, as in the 600 euro coat. Do I really need to be spreading deferring the payment for that over 4 months, or do I just live without the €600 code?
It's funny, when you see online now, they offer you easy term payments for even the smallest things, which I find is a bit disturbing. I mean, if you can't really afford to buy that whatever at €50, you shouldn't be buying it on time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I've seen people, like Deliveroo uses buy now, pay later. So food takeaways. So again, if you can't afford the takeaway, maybe just, you know, get it back, get a sliced pan. But I'm just saying, it's as far as there are steps you can take. But as you said, it's the old biblical adage that you have to pass through the wilderness in order to get to the promised land. There is a little bit of pain in there, but it is certainly worth it if you feel that the end goal is going to be
now,
worth it.
What about the other assets that you can buy? Now, I've read the other day the Chinese are moving a lot of stuff into gold.
Mm.
So whether or not that's a good long-term investment, I don't know. Gold can come and go. Yeah. But property, fairly typical Irish investment.
Yeah. And absolutely. And I think the biggest challenge for people, particularly in their 30s, is just getting on the property ladder. And that, and I do have a huge empathy in that, because it is very difficult.
And would you buy the one bed apartment that may not seem like good value, but you're in, you're on the ladder?
I have my own personal view is getting on the property ladder is more important. There is this notion that you have to wait for perfection. And the problem with waiting for perfection, it never arrives. So my attitude to property has always been, you buy the best property you can afford to buy today, because you can always trade up. But more important, you're starting to pay down your own debt and you're not paying rent. And that removes a huge amount of financial uncertainty, yeah, which is actually stress in your life. So yes is the answer. If one bed apartment today meets my needs and I can afford it and all the other things that go with it, 100% it beats paying
rent. And for the moment,
rent.
I mean, unless we have a recession, a crash following Trump's tariffs and all the rest, there'll be a huge demand for that apartment when you want to flog it.
Even in the rental market, it's still there. Like, if you looked at the news that the minister brought out there 2 weeks ago regarding the changing in planning laws, etc., to increase the provision of those types of properties, there's always a market for it. But absolutely. But like, if you think, the price crashes come from oversupply and lack of demand. What we have at the moment is a well documented undersupply, and so we're.
Now, you know, people will wonder, how come when we had the last crash, we ended up with ghost estates? Mm. In others, we had an oversupply. Mm. How do we go from oversupply to undersupply so quickly?
I think that's a question for the various government ministers and politicians, even civil servants.
Know what I mean? People might be concerned that they're buying their way when they get on the ladder into negative equity in the not too distant future.
Well, I'd say the context there is that in 2007, we put 90,000 units on this island, housing units. This year, what's it going to be? 31,000?
Yeah.
And our population is 25% larger than it was in 2000. I think it could be even 30% larger. If you looked at the CSO projections, it's expected to keep growing. So again, you come back to basic economics, supply and demand. We're well short of what our supply is well short of demand at the moment. So it would take something pretty considerate. I would have thought, I'm no economist, but I would have thought it would take something pretty considerable to be able to affect property prices in the same way as they have been in the past.
Now, let's go back to that 3,000 a year saving, which is only a putative figure. I mean,
I just picked it as an amount. Yeah,
yeah, given salaries today, it might be rather more than that you could accumulate. And then you end up with a good pension pot and you can get a tax-free lump sum. Mm-hmm. But eventually you will pay tax on the pension coming out. And that's a given. You pay it sooner or later.
I always say tax is a rich person's problem. If you're paying taxes because you're earning sufficient resources to be paying it. So, but even in retirement, a married couple could be drawing an income of probably about 40, I think it's about 45, 46,000 euros a year between the two of them and pay no tax, which is not far off 4,000 euros.
Like, it's about three. If you've paid off your mortgage and you don't have rent and you've got a reasonably energy efficient house and so on, that's livable.
Absolutely. Like, the CSO produced a number last year that said you need about 38,000 euros today to have what they would consider a comfortable, now you can define comfortable, but a comfortable retirement.
Now, what about where you put the money? Putting it in bricks and mortar has been the traditional way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you've got an asset that you can then sell. It's visible.
Yeah.
Going into the stock market?
Well, you see, it's all about risk. And coming back to the genesis of the piece, which is people in their 30s. Risk is all about time. So yeah. If I have a short time frame, well, then my risk appetite should be fairly small because I can't live with volatility. So if I have 100,000 sitting on deposit waiting to pay for a house, I can't take the risk of the market dropping 20% and then therefore I miss out my deposit.
So you
for
get your
house.
0.5% from Bank of Ireland or whatever.
And you live with it because the opportunity cost is worth it. However, if I'm in my 30s or 40s and I'm saving for an event, it's 20, 30 years away, it makes absolutely no sense for you not to be able to expand your risk horizon because you will benefit from that compounding that I spoke about. So a well-diversified portfolio never did anyone any harm. You mentioned gold. Yeah, it's had a spectacular run. It's up about 150, 160%.
Would you go crypto?
No, I don't buy anything I don't understand.
On that note, Robert Whelan, Managing Director of Rockwell Financial, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.